Hello and welcome to OU Students Radio. I'm Sue Goodyear, OUSA Vice President Representation. They've called me back again. And we'll go for introductions. On my left, we have...
It's me. It's Jack. It's Jack. If you know the Young Students group on Twitter, I'm the man behind that. And throughout the day, throughout the night even, I'll be checking in on the social media.
Okie dokie. And on my right, now who of these lovely ladies shall we pick first?
Oh, lovely. Pick the lovelier one.
The lovelier one.
Hi, everybody. It's Sherry Day. I'm the chair of the Disabled Students Group, DSG. Lovely to be here with Sue and Nick and Jack. You're going to have fun tonight.
And finally...
The less lovely one.
The less lovely one.
The less lovely one. It's me, it's Nick, the OU Students Association Deputy President, here to cause chaos wherever I roam, just for change.
Oh, good. Well, as you can tell, it's freshers because it's that autumnal time of year and our forums have been buzzing with the people, the nervous and excited and anticipatory people that are out
there.
The panicked. Students, the panicked. So, to help put your mind at ease... We've got a couple of fun-packed hours with support and more support. And if that isn't enough, there's more support and ideas coming up.
We can even start with Meccano sets if we really need more support.
We need it.
So we can have an interview later on with Peter Horrocks. He's the new Vice-Chancellor of the OU, if you don't know.
He is indeed. He's been with us 5 whole months now, I believe.
Ooh.
It is. So he's a fresher.
He is a fresher. We're finding out, as I said before, about support for you students out there and how to make the most of your lovely learning journey ahead of you. Some of you just beginning, some of you halfway through who's just dipped in to see what being fresh is like.
If you can remember.
Fresh and fruity.
And we'll be talking about ways to get involved with the OU student community. So we want you to get in touch. I'm going to ask Jack.
So I'll be here all night covering the social media desk, but if you are new to the OU, make sure you get your voice heard and tell us why you're looking forward to this year. So with that, I think it is over to Cherry and Sue, because we're going to be remembering our first years, I think.
The first feeling was being a little overwhelmed by all the information. And it's not panicking, just taking it slowly and moving on.
I was afraid to click on links. Well, I didn't, in some cases, I didn't even know they were links. I just thought they were just things that were there on the screen. So, yeah, clicking. Left-hand side of your student homepage is your student online life. The middle bit's your classroom.
Yes.
The right-hand side is messages and everything else from the OU. That's the easiest way to remember it. There's support at the top. There's all sorts of
I did say to somebody the other day, actually, that you can't actually break student home or the VLE.
We try.
We try frequently. But you can't actually break anything, so just click everything and just have a good look around it. I also started with first class a year before you, actually, 2007. And it was an interesting experience. I had no idea what I'd let myself in for.
I think it's a long journey ahead, but I think you have to think for the now. So you've got your study materials for the next couple of months, 9 months, however long your module is. I'm actually doing... an introduction to counselling, so I think mine's only several months, but that'll be several months of interestingness, I think I shall call it, at this precise moment.
I think you've got to look ahead to what the goal is you want at the end as well, don't you? I mean, I think I'm relatively new compared to everybody else. So 2012 I started, so at the minute in my head is what the career goal is at the end.
Well, yeah,
you know, it's that bit of light which kind of gets you through.
The interesting thing is, once you have finished that first degree, you look back and you think, crikey, that went really quickly. You know, and you do forget all about the, I don't know how to do this, I don't know how to do that. When you actually come out of it the other end, you suddenly think, blimey, all this stuff that I learned. You know, when I first started, I had no idea how to write an essay.
Yeah.
you know, and now I can do one off the top of my head almost. You know, and that's the whole point of the journey. It's teaching you how to do those things.
I had family support and interest. Some of my friends thought I was a bit of an oddball, wondering why I wanted to spend so much time studying and, you know, what I was going to achieve. But I think as time went on and they saw that I was achieving and eventually graduated... I think they were most impressed, really. So I don't know whether you had family support, Sherry.
That's a very good point, actually, Sue. It's okay. You've signed up. You know you want to study, and how many hours a week it's going to take. But the big problem can be getting your family, people who live with you, into the same mindset that when you're studying, you are studying. And you need that shut-off time, because not everybody has a spare bedroom or whatever. Mm. I study in the lounge. Mm. It was on wheelchair bound, and that's where my wheelchair would go at my desk. And it took me a while to stop my lovely husband opening the lounge door and saying, "Hi, darling, here's a cup of coffee," and whatever. And that really totally broke my flow and concentration.
Yeah.
So educating partners, children, dogs, cats, or whatever.
Cats. Educating cats? You joking?
Send us in your stories about how many times a cat has walked over your keypad, please.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's really educating everybody around you that you must have that quiet time, because... You don't get a degree without working down hard.
Yeah. Yep.
But it's a lovely journey if you can get that quiet time to yourself, that is your time, with your module books, with your tutor and tutoring form.
It's very true, actually, because when I first started studying, my three children were still quite young. You know, and I'm lucky in the respect that I had a lot of support from, you know, my husband and my children, you know, and my wider family. You know, I know my brother told me when I graduated that he was extremely proud of me, and it was actually a very nice moment. But it was actually quite difficult to train the children to understand that when I was sort of immersed in reading and writing and taking notes, this wasn't a good time to come and ask me when's dinner and
I'm
doing cooking tomorrow at school and I haven't got any of my ingredients, and you know, when I'm right in the middle of studying, that's really not the best time to come and tell me. But interestingly, they've grown up with me as an OU student, and I now have two daughters who will be studying. One is currently studying, the other one is hoping to start in January, which I think is quite interesting. They will be very young students, Jack.
Yeah. Growing number of young students as well. And I'm just
looking on the social media desk at the minute, and Devin Davis has said 3 years ago he was nervous and excited at the same time when he started his modules. 10 modules later on, and he's still feeling the same. I think we all feel like that when we're starting new modules, don't we?
Absolutely. Yeah, I know I certainly do at the moment.
That lovely moment when your module books arrive.
Oh.
Or you have to go hunting for them in the garden or behind the bin.
Yeah.
Because the owner happens to deliver them to the right place.
Yes.
Or they've delivered them to your porch, and you know for a fact you haven't got a front porch.
Yes. You see, this is where I suppose I'm lucky that my entire qualification is online. I would have liked some books, but it isn't. It's all online. But at least that means I don't have to go hunting for it. It's just wherever I left my laptop last. Which does make life a bit easier, I guess.
So is anybody else telling us about...
We've got Cat19 here says that she's new to the OU. She says she's nervous and it's all new to her, and she's studying maths and all of the things behind it, which I think maths is one of the hardest, most challenging ones, isn't it?
Well, it would be for me.
Well, it would for me as well. I certainly wouldn't want to be doing that.
Yeah, and, art student.
And Barry Sharp's just started an access course. He's just been on Mixer to us. And I think it's important to say that the OU does a lot more than just offering degrees and everything. Yes. It's access for everybody at the end of the day, isn't it?
Yeah, the access courses are really, really important, and good luck, Barry, with that Hope it goes really well.
Yeah.
You will be one of these lunatics doing degrees and things fairly shortly.
Yes, on your own roller coaster. And we've got a hashtag. But I also want to introduce another hashtag.
Uh-oh.
Because we are part-time students.
Yeah, yep. We certainly are.
And we've got a hashtag part-time student matters.
Yep.
Hashtag part-time.
Hashtag
love part-time.
Hashtag
love part-time.
Yeah. Anything with the word part-time in it needs a hashtag in front of it. Told you I was no good at these things, wasn't I?
Lucky you got us sent.
Do we want to explain what that campaign is about, do you think?
I have no idea. So, yes, please, Deputy President, if you want to share.
I had a feeling you'd do that. Very, very briefly, because there have been a lot of changes in the higher education sector, particularly with funding, it's had quite an impact on the Open University in particular. It has on all universities, but the Open University in particular. And the hashtag part-time matters and hashtag love part-time is part of the campaign being headed up by our own Vice-Chancellor to make sure the government understands the importance of part-time studies and obviously the importance of the OU within that sector of part-time students. Yeah. So this is why we're fully behind it as a Students' Association. We are absolutely behind the idea that we're really important, because we are.
Let's big it up for part-time students.
Oh, yes.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hashtag.
Hashtag.
Not hash brown.
And speaking of that hashtag, Dan Crocker's been on Twitter and he's put hashtag love part-time, and he sent a picture of DVDs and module books and everything, and he's preparing to start his module, so I think we wish him all
yeah.
the best. What's... And I've also heard, by the way, as well, a lot of people getting very excited about those goodie bags.
Oh! Oh, that was the OUSA ensemble.
It was, wasn't it? That's a bit worrying. That's it, we've lost the plot already.
Yes.
Yes, we won't be back again.
Probably will.
So we need to know, really, how OUSA works. So... over to Nick.
How the Student Association works, in mysterious ways sometimes, especially if I'm involved. The Students Association is independent of the university, but it does work very closely with the university in the best interests of students. The way we currently do that is the association is run by students, i.e. us lot, for students.
You lot? Us lot.
Us lot.
Everybody lot.
Yeah. Yes, every student. The whole of the Central Executive Committee is made up of elected students that we're elected at conference, and we sort of make the decisions about the direction of the association and, you know, what policies we want to put in place and what things we want to take to the university and what stance we might take on those things, whether we're really, really supportive, like hash part-time matters, or whether we're less happy. And we also have lots and lots of volunteers. Everybody is a volunteer in OUSA, except for our paid staff. All of the reps, OUSA reps, are volunteers, and we have central reps who have very important roles sitting on committees that are part of the university's governance structure. So they put the students' voice and point of view directly to university staff on committees about issues that affect students, impact on students of decisions the university makes and things like that. We also have volunteers that help us with things like residential schools. They sell merchandise, which raises money for the Students Education Trust. They run events at residential schools. So there's a variety of things that the association gets up to. And now and again, we organise really quite fun things like selecting our university challenge teams. So we have little kind of playoff events and things, you know, which is quite good fun. So there's an awful lot of things that the Students Association gets up to that isn't necessarily directly related to the university. Sometimes it's just all about building the student community and getting students talking to each other and...
beating that isolation, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And having fun, like you say.
Yeah, making sure students can make friends with each other, people to support them who understand what they're going through with their learning journey.
I think sometimes students can think that when we're talking to them out there that their voice isn't being heard. But I know that our president, OUSA president, Ruth, when she goes to meetings, amongst all the other officers as well, but she really does put the students' voice across, yeah. and they do listen to her.
Yes.
And they do listen to us in other meetings.
Yep.
So we don't cozy up to them. We do tell them what we think. Some of you are aware of issues at the moment. And yes, the elected students are on the case, aren't they, with stuff like that. There's also the other ones behind the scenes, like the students who are on the moderating our forums.
Yeah, exactly.
So you can come and help sort of behind the scenes. If that message is pinging through to your phone, why don't you become a moderator?
Yeah.
It can be a 5-minute thing, or it can be an overnighter here and doing stuff centrally.
Yeah.
So there's lots to think about.
There's loads to get involved in, isn't there?
Absolutely.
I must admit, having got involved myself with this in the early months after signing up in February 2008, I now say to people that the OU, the work I do with the OU and USA, is my day job. Studying is actually 3 or 4 hours away from the volunteer work. And there's so many opportunities, aren't there? Mm. If you go on the USA website, there's the volunteer. So you can sign up for as much or as little as you want to do.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, there's no set time. We don't ask a set amount of time for anyone.
I wanted to bring Jack in at this point because your story was quite interesting as how you've ended up on our media desk.
I think it's more than interesting, isn't it? How we're here tonight, behind the social media desk. Is it a promotion, would you say?
If you want to call, I'll call it a promotion.
Maybe.
He's got a desk, a laptop, and a couple of microphones and a mouse. So is that a promotion?
Well, it's more than I've got.
A microphone. Yeah. It's more than I've got, actually.
Image for all you wonderful people out there listening. Sue, Nick, and I are sitting on comfortable sofas.
And we I'm an old office chair.
Jack is a schoolmaster in front of us. A desk and chair. So we're trying to behave ourselves.
Won't last.
So we've talked about how things are out there. Look, I've gone into student mode. More tea. How to get more engaged with being a student. And we've got, I'll call it snippets and chunks. Snippets and chunks of information.
Sounds like dog food.
Oh, whoa. What an image.
Because I know what it is.
Inside an officer team meeting. Find out what we do and why we're there.
My name is Ruth Tudor and I am the student president.
Hi, I'm Lorraine Adams and I'm vice president communications.
My name is Peter Cowan. I'm the USA vice president educational support and research.
I'm Kerry Shaw. I've been a student with the OU for 13 years, something like that, long time.
My role involves being involved in everything, I think is probably the safest thing to say, but I represent the student voice to the university in all its governance meetings and council and senate and that kind of thing, so making sure I'm getting the student voice heard basically anywhere in the university I can.
I'm responsible, as well as the team from the office, for the student magazine. Keep an eye out on Facebook, Twitter, all social media.
My job is one of the officer team on the Central Executive Committee of USA. I'm also a central rep representing USA on various Open University committees. And basically I look after matters of educational support and also supervising the USA research projects that are currently underway.
I got involved in USA by banging on the door. And if you banged on the door of your local branch, metaphorically on the net, you got a response.
I started off as a point of contact for a dormant branch many, many years ago when we had all that sort of stuff. And then I just gradually got more and more involved up in Scotland.
Quite by accident. I hadn't been involved with USA at all. I'd been studying for a few years. And I received an email saying that they wanted students to come. I live in Athens, by the way, Athens, Greece, and they wanted students to come to a meeting, and I just decided to go, and I've been with USA ever since.
I first got involved in the year after I started studying, which was back in 2008, when I began to moderate some of the study support forums, in particular AA100.
So I ended up on the science faculty committee and wandered around learning how the university worked and why it sometimes doesn't quite work as we'd like it to, and trying to change some of the things that we wanted changing. And so it sort of gathered momentum.
Can you tell us three words that describe the Students' Association to you?
Supportive, friendly and hardworking.
Community, non-isolation, I'm making that one word, and necessary.
Meeting new friends.
It's representative, tries to do its best to get the best deal that it possibly can for students.
So, what three words sum up your student life as an active person?
Me?
Yeah.
I would have to go with friends, madness and community. Not necessarily in that order.
You realise that Cherry's just looking at you now, wondering which order. I could see from her face it was which order.
I think madness usually comes first. Particularly if they put me in a room with Cherry.
Cherry, what's your...
First two are quite serious. Support. Mm. Inclusiveness, because we're just learners, and fun.
Yeah. Jack, have you got three words?
I'd say number one, representative. I think there's so many different types of student out there, and it's great to know so many different types of students from the elderly to the ancient to the very young. With my young students group, just mention it there again. And on that topic, I'd say it was also a very vibrant student association, I'd say. Mm. And also,
like that.
I'd say communicative, if they that a word, communicative.
You can have that
yes.
word
yeah.
tonight.
That word, yeah.
Because we're students.
I think we're so good at communicating messages, I think, aren't we?
We do like to be noisy, has to be
oh,
said.
Yeah.
And we have all these ways of being communicative.
If it's a word.
Yes. No, that's much. Well, do you want to hear mine?
Go on,
travel. I was in Manchester last week. I was in Milton Keynes, and now I'm back in Milton Keynes. Jollies, because it is so jolly meeting students, whether or not they're at a degree ceremony, yeah. a residential school, here, sat yeah. beside me in this lovely radio station. And just the loveliness of it all. You know, hearing students who've overcome things on their journeys mm. and are proceeding quite nicely on this roller coaster of loveliness. And pizza, because they fed us tonight.
And do you know what? Plenty of our students have been getting involved as well with this three words.
Oh, right.
Literally, brilliant. Peter Canning's put community support and inclusion.
Ooh, oh, lovely. Yeah.
And David Davis has put hobnobs, cake and coffee.
Oh, yes.
Hobnobs, we've got the biscuits out.
This is a good one from Pippa Bramley. New start, exciting support.
Oh, that's
yes.
lovely, Pippa.
Yeah. It's a nice that one, isn't
yeah.
it?
So do we want to talk a little bit about getting involved? Not that we're going to force you, we won't have your arm up behind your back or anything. Promise.
You bet.
Well, yeah, that's what happened to me, so I don't do it to others, obviously. But there's an awful lot of ways to get involved with the Students' Association. We did allude to it a little bit earlier and sort of said, you know, we don't expect any specific amount of time. But there are so many ways. So you can take on elected roles, you know, sort of officer roles or on committees like the DSG have for their group and things like that. Some of those elected roles can have a lot of time commitment to them. I would be lying if I said that the president's and deputy president's role doesn't, and quite a lot of the officer team have, you know, quite a lot of time commitment. But there's a lot of elected roles that don't have to. There's a lot where a lot of the work can be done online, so you don't have to move into Milton Keynes like I feel like I do occasionally. But it's also getting involved with us on social media, you know, or get involved with us on the forums, on the VLA, you know, podcasts, blogging. Get involved with the societies, join a society. We've got hundreds of them. You know, you can go and join the Bell Ringers, or you can go and join Alchemy. You know, it's whatever you, whatever floats your boat. There's probably a society. If there isn't, set one up. We'll help you.
Get in contact with us to do that.
Our peer supporters, you know, fantastic peer supporters, totally confidential service. Someone there that you can talk to one, you know, whatever your problem is. Brilliant, absolutely fantastic. If you can only do things online, absolutely wonderful idea. Moderators, we mentioned them earlier, bless them, they're a lovely, lovely bunch of people. I love our moderators, such wonderful people, always go above and beyond, and always terribly sensible, always telling me what I should be saying. You know, we've got things like volunteering for Nightline, which is another sort of support service based in London. You know, that's something that a number of universities are affiliated to Nightline, and we've recently become affiliated to them last year. And I understand that that's been a really valuable service to a lot of students. You know, degree ceremonies, getting involved on our stall and selling merchandise at degree ceremonies.
Can I just say, with
University Challenge, put your applications in. Keep an eye on social media, because we're going to be after you very soon.
Do we have any students with problems out there at this time of year?
We do have a student problem. It's from a fresher.
Ooh.
And they're saying, I'll be starting my first OU module soon. I haven't studied since I left school, and I'm really worried that I won't be able to keep up as I will be working and studying at the same time. Can anyone help?
We've had a few different bits and pieces in. Davey and Davey says, keep in touch with your tutor if you feel you're falling behind. Remember that you're not expected to know everything all at once, and it will come over the course of your module.
That's really good advice, because, to be perfectly honest, I think worrying about not having studied since you left school is common to a lot of us when we first start studying. Not you, Jack, but those of us that are slightly more mature, or immature, as the case may be. But also worrying about working and studying at the same time is something that a lot of AU students worry about. So I think Davin's advice of making sure you stay in touch with your tutor, let them know, keep them updated.
Mm. Yeah, I think advice. One more just before our next bit. I think Pippa's made a good point of saying that the forums are amazing. She said she's only just started, but she already thinks the forums are really helpful. So you can't complain at that, can you? And I think we'd all agree.
Yep. Indeed.
Absolutely. Coming up now, the library.
Yes, the library.
So it's time to calm, isn't it?
Jane? Yes.
And quiet. Shh.
I think we need some calming library.
Library.
Music.
Shh.
Yeah. A calm atmosphere settled over a pirate radio station.
It's turning into a bit of a pirate radio station.
I'm sure my age. Wonderful radio, you. the library.
Hello, my name is Helen Clough and I'm a learning and teaching librarian, and I'd like to introduce the online library to you. Basically, the OU's library is an online library, which makes it very convenient because all you need is a device and an internet connection, and you have access to a world-class collection of trusted, quality library resources such as journals and e-books and other academic material that can help you in your studies. So the best way to get started is basically go to the library website and you'll see a library search box on the homepage, and you just pop in your keywords, your title, your author, and hit search and see what you get. And just have an explore and don't be afraid to click on anything, you can't break it. If you prefer a more structured approach, then we have a library resources section where things are arranged by subject and also by type. So you could go to the images and sound page and see a list of collections that have images and sound in them, or you could go to our news sources page and see a list of newspapers that you can access as an OU student. And if you get stuck at any point, don't panic. We have a help desk. You can contact us via phone, via email, and also via web chat. And our web chat is actually staffed 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So when we go home, a partner librarian in the US will pick up your query. And the kinds of things you can ask are all around using, finding and using online library resources, but also things like using libraries near you and the dreaded referencing. If you prefer self-help, then we have a help and support section on the library website where you will find things like videos and interactive tutorials. And we also run live online training sessions in the evenings and at weekends. So all you need to do for those is turn up in the online room at the advertised time, and there will be a librarian waiting to deliver a session. And the kinds of topics we deliver sessions on are a general introduction to the library. We also do one on finding information for your assignment. There's one on literature searching, and then there's also one on choosing reference management tools. So to wrap up, really, don't be afraid to just explore the online library, and if you get stuck, contact us, and also do follow us on Twitter and Facebook. On Twitter we're OU_library, and on Facebook just search for the Open University Library. So thank you very much for listening.
Thank you very much from the library for all of that information and telling us what a great resource it is. We're going to go over to Jack now to see what's been going on the social media desk, because I gather it's been getting a bit busy over there.
It's been getting very, very busy indeed. In fact, I think we're about to give out our first NUS extra card.
Yay!
I think. And it goes to Helen Hewitt, who has been in touch to say, "Hi everyone, I'm in my second year of English Literature degree course, and she's just taken an exam. Like everyone else, she was very nervous, but she was really looking forward to it. She said she didn't pass the exam, though, and she had to resit it, which made her feel quite down. But she's glad she did it because she passed the second time round."
Yay!
Which is good news.
Congratulations.
Well done. Yeah.
She said, "It's hard to admit that she failed an exam, as I think everybody else would agree. But to find the determination to go on and prove that she can do it was the biggest challenge, and she's had great support from everyone." And we've had plenty of responses to the student problem on Facebook. Where Tina Davey Butcher said, "I think we all are worried about the same thing before we started. Each module is designed to give you all the help you need, and they provide extra resources to help you. Tutors are there to answer any questions you may have, and the online forums provide a place where you can brainstorm with other students." Yeah. And she says, "I would suggest keeping yourself organised, keeping to the planner, and having some belief in yourself."
Yeah, that's good advice.
Shell Davey says, "I was that student, but don't worry, it isn't painful. The workload eases you in, and there's lots of support if you struggle." Bev Petrie, "Just stick at it. Even an hour a day will help. Say you watch Corrie, then EastEnders, record them and use that hour to study. Rome wasn't built in a day, and every one of us are in the same boat." Let's go back to that before we had our three best words to describe Student Association. We've had a few more. Paige Louise Busby, "Education and individuality teapot."
Yes. Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
Do you know what? Can we send some tea bags
Let's send us some tea bags. Sue Cornelius, "Scary, exciting, and me." It's all about her. Journey, isn't it? And Nikki McKenzie, to just refer back to what the Student Association gives, "Night support service is a fantastic service," she writes.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
I think, again, they're all right tonight.
We're ringing.
Right?
We'll answer it. Hello.
Hiya.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Hello. Hello, who's that?
This is Leanne.
Hello, Leanne.
Welcome
very good
to
the Madhouse. That's very good of you to call us.
Yes.
No,
technical issues getting through.
Oh, have you?
Oh.
Oh. Is that from the links that have been going out, or is that user error?
I'm not sure.
Right. No, I know who you are. You're Leanne Goodall.
I am.
Yes, you're an active student with the Open University Students Association. And your speciality is social media, I believe.
I don't know about speciality, but yes, I certainly get involved in social media and with the Open University Students Association.
Oh, right. So do you want to share it with us exactly what you do?
I'd love to. I get involved on Facebook and Twitter, but aside from those, I run a blog site. My blog's called Growing My Knowing, And if anybody wants to have a look at that, it's at www.growingmyknowing.com. And I write all about my experiences as a student on there. So I book my way through it, through the highs and the lows, all about my struggles, my successes, and some fun things as well. So hopefully I put lots of things out there for other students to identify with and have a bit of fun with as well.
All right. That sounds really interesting. Now, I'm not into all this blogging malarkey and techno-geekery, but I'm aware that Jack... has asked me to write something for a blog. So what is it that's special about your blog that you enjoy doing?
For me, my blog, I did it for quite a few different reasons. Firstly, I wanted to document my own journey so that I could really see how I've developed over time. I was another one of these that sort of didn't do much after school education wise, and it's been a long, long time since I studied again, and I was very nervous, didn't think I could do it, so I kind of decided to start blogging about it so that every now and then I can look back, see what I've done, see where I've progressed, and actually it's really surprising how far I have progressed already. I'm halfway through now, and I also blog for my children. I like them to be able to see it so that I can show them how you get through all the sort of tougher times. And I also blog so that other students can sort of learn a little bit from what I've learned, so I can share my experiences with them. So if they're worried or they're having a problem with something, they can read my blog and hopefully pick up some tips and see that, you know, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. So that's what I do with my blog. But I will say as well, I'm not actually that technically minded myself, so anybody can have a go at blogging.
Oh, right.
You need a little bit of help with setting them up.
Oh, right, right. Have you been to campus and recorded that on your blog?
I have been to campus. It was the most amazing day. Yeah, the blogging has really sort of opened up some doors for me and really got me involved with lots of other students, and it was the OU students that started talking to me about my blog, and they invited me up to campus this summer, and it was so good. I mean, I had a fantastic day there. I was absolutely petrified before I came in, because I'd never done anything like that before. But when I got there, it was Jess, who you'd had on just now, and Heather, they sort of welcomed us in, gave us tea and cake, and then we had a lovely tour around campus. We got to see some of the research labs there. I met another student, well, he's actually just finished his degree with the Open University, and that's David from Surviving the OU. And we just had the most fantastic day, really walking around campus, absorbing it all, finding out kind of what the feel is on campus, which I must admit absolutely blew my mind, because it's just completely positive and inspiring, and it's just such a lovely community on the campus, and all the staff were so friendly. They couldn't stop coming and saying hello, and it was fantastic. So, yes, I blogged all about that afterwards and put it on my blog site so that other students can kind of read it and get an idea of what it was like when you do go to campus, because lots of people don't get to see it.
My researchers have indicated that you're on a little mission, something to do with yogi.
That's right, yeah. When we were at campus, we were walking around, and there's all sorts of lovely pieces of local art dotted around, so we quite often would stop and talk about them and things, and my husband was actually with me at the time, and he spotted something that nobody else had seen in our group, and this was a little yogi bear. He was etched into something on campus, and the people that we were with, Heather and Jess, they didn't know that it existed at that time, so they were really surprised. They'd never seen it. And we kind of got talking about it and how funny it was that it was there. We wondered why it was there. It didn't have any information or a plaque, or it didn't look as if it was something that was necessarily meant to be there, but obviously somebody spent the time to put it there. So we kind of became curious about it and wanted really to know where it had come from and how long it had been there, and kind of spread that around and show other people. At the same time, I wanted to show other students how brilliant the staff at the campus were, because they're all so friendly and up for a challenge and up for a laugh all the time. So I decided, without speaking to any of them, to set them a challenge, and I wrote a blog piece about it. I put a picture of Yogi Bear that we found, And I set a challenge to the staff and, in fact, anybody who's going onto campus to see if they can find Yogi themselves. And extra points for anybody who can tell us how he got there.
Oh, right. That sounds absolutely brilliant. a moment ago, I was trying to jabber my way through this audio boom channel thing. Are you... Channel thing. See? Yes. Technology. Yeah, right. Are you familiar with that?
I am familiar, yes. When I was on the campus, we did a little bit of work for Audio Boom, and I've been looking at it today, actually. It's fantastic. It's a website that you can upload little bits of audio to. It's often used for podcasts. But the Open University Students Association have a channel on there where they're uploading lots of small sound bites, clips, and little bits of completely useful information for students. There's just fun questions on there. I mean, there's questions where they've asked tutors things, there's questions where they ask students things, and you can go on there and you can listen to the answers yourself, but you can also record your own ones. It's really easy, actually. There's just a button at the top which says record or upload a clip to this channel. And you can just go on there, listen to them, record your own ones. So would you like me to give you the address for it?
Yes, please.
I noticed you had trouble with that earlier. So it's www.audioboom.com, then it's a bit long, I'm afraid, /channel/OU students.
You said that so much better than I did. Can I just, in wrapping you up, because it's been really interesting to speak to you, what are your three words that sort of sum up you being an OU student?
I was thinking about this when I was listening to the radio show earlier, actually, and I'd say, for me, it's community, which I'm sure has probably been one of the most common words used, opportunity, because it's given me opportunities that I've never had before, and passion, because there is a massive passion among the students and staff for exactly what the Open University is.
Brilliant.
Nice. Well, we'd like to thank you very much for taking time out to speak to us. And
you're welcome.
All right, enjoy the rest of your evening.
Bye, Liam.
Okay.
Bye.
That was nice.
That was lovely.
Yeah, brilliant.
Yeah. And you understood more about that because you were into your blogs and things.
Yeah. I'm not too sure about the audio boom, though, yet. I'm not too sure about that yet.
I haven't played with that yet, either.
Shall we find out what are you talking about? We are talking about Cherry's interview with Peter Horrocks.
I'd say it was an exclusive, wouldn't you?
Yes.
Let's call it an exclusive.
Oh, you are so
Irish. Yeah.
I reckon.
I'm delighted to be able to say I'm sitting next to the new Vice-Chancellor at the Open University, Peter Horrocks. Lovely to meet you, Peter.
Good afternoon, lovely to meet you too.
The burning question every OU student really wants to know is, how's the veg patch going?
Well, that's coming along very well. We've had some very nice tomatoes. The squash is growing, and we're looking forward to that in the autumn. It's in good shape, thank you.
Are you entering anything into a local show or anything you think?
No, I'm afraid the produce isn't quite that impressive. been bringing in apples from the orchard and some of the tomatoes, and giving them to colleagues here in Walton Hall at the centre of the Open University.
And are you looking forward to your new module?
Well, I'm terrified, to be honest, and I think I'm going through what most first students do, which is bewilderment and anxiety. And I've been in touch with my tutor, and so I'm nervous in the same way that everyone is. But of course, given that it's become known that I'm studying, lots of people are going to be interested to find out how I'm doing. So I feel I've put extra pressure on myself, but you know, maybe that's a good thing. I'm sure it's a good thing to be going through some of the experience that OU students do, and understanding issues of technology, communications from the university, all those sorts of things.
And that is a common thing, isn't it? That fear at the very beginning, it's the one thing that seems to come up with certainly in Freshers Week. You see, it's on all the Facebook groups, I'm scared, what's all this information for? Are you going through the same sort of process as any other OU new student of learning how to navigate through all that?
Yes, and I'm not asking for any special help. Mm. You know, I may need to ring up learner support, and you know, I'll be doing that because I genuinely, you know, I'm confused by something and I need some help. I'm certainly not using any tricks to go to the top, and you know, emailing professors or whatever
it might
be. Or and I'm certainly not going to get any extra assistance from anyone if I go asking for advice on a subject. I think they're going to let me sink or swim, probably sink.
That leads us nicely onto a major question we've had from a lot of our people, and I don't think it's wholly disabled student associated, but communication between the OU and students. You said in your interview with Jess last time that you wanted your staff to be fully involved with the students, and you'd like a phantom student on your committees and meetings. That phantom student for disabled students would be maybe somebody like me in the wheelchair, or somebody that's blind or has a hearing impairment or a mental health problem. How possible is that to expose your staff to the real-time problems that disabled students have?
That's a really interesting suggestion. Well, maybe straightforward. I hadn't thought about the phantom student in that way. So that maybe shows that I'm not thinking sufficiently broadly about it. So just by you raising that question, asking that question in that really interesting way, then that's a contribution to my thinking. I'd like to take that away and think about how best to make sure that the kind of typical experiences that students with those various categories of disability that you just described, how that can be better understood, not just by the members of staff who most specialise in supporting those conditions, but more generally, so in terms of accessibility of materials and those kinds of things. Mm. So perhaps that's something which we can talk about how disabled students can have that direct interaction, and that we can do more to increase the awareness, because that's the most important thing, in order that people have then got it sufficiently front of mind to take it into account in a whole range of issues, whether it's about the creation of courses or the presentation of courses.
It is a huge subject, I'm sure you agree, but navigating through the first of all, it being very new when you get your student homepage up, that navigation process that has been the design, the platform is fine, but navigating through that, I've heard repeatedly that is a major problem. How to get from that first page and navigate through, if you've got a sight problem, for instance, if you're using screen reader software. So I hope you'll agree that having a member of staff that is instrumental in creating that platform is aware that some people are having problems to get through it if they can't see the screen, with the more and more delivery of module material online. That's from we're hearing.
Yes. So adhering to accessibility standards, I think, is absolutely critical. Mm. And if you've got examples of where those standards aren't being applied and where things which should be accessible are not accessible, then I would like to know about them in order that I can ask my team to tackle those. So that should be a sort of a bottom line, that all of our digital materials meet accessibility standards.
Student support teams.
One of the changes that you might be aware of that the university is currently considering is how to organise its student support teams in the future. And if it's agreed by the Open University Council, we will be moving to a more concentration of expertise in a smaller number of locations. One of the reasons why we're doing that is we think we can accentuate the expertise, make sure that the people who can lead on specialist knowledge are able to support the people who are taking the frontline calls or dealing with the frontline emails more effectively. that's a change that will take a year or two to kind of to introduce. In the meantime, though, moving more towards that kind of model where it's not dependent on who you first call or who first answers your email, but where those student support teams are able to draw on the right expertise. That's something which we're already doing, and we need to improve that further, especially as we move into this this new way of working with a smaller number of student support locations where we can concentrate the expertise and serve students more effectively.
So that would be a bit like a champion for each
That sort of thing. That sort of thing. It's that kind of point of reference. It's that centre of expertise. You know, different labels that you might put on it. But knowing that, so that if you're a frontline student support person, but without the depth of expertise that might be required for a specialist condition or something like that, that you're able to draw on that kind of expertise. Some things which will need our systems to improve and our ability to be able to serve individual needs more effectively. We need to develop our systems to be able to do that. But that's the kind of direction that I'd like the university to move in, to be able to do personalised support in as cost-effective a way as possible, so that that cost of that isn't falling too heavily on students and their loans. Our students are probably aware of some of the political problems that there are around part-time and whether policies from government support part-time learning in the right way. And the number of people who are able to study part-time and have chosen to study part-time has gone down, particularly in England, less so in Wales, Scotland, Northern Ireland, but in England, the number of part-time students overall has gone down by 40%. We know that people want to study part-time. We know that the economy needs people to study part-time to improve their skills. So we think it's the OU's responsibility to draw attention to this, and we want to do that in a positive way. So we're asking people to express their belief in part-time by our Love Part-Time campaign, social media campaign, where we're going to be asking people to put up their hands, to show signs, to show their support for part-time. And we'll be sharing ideas about how to do that, but we'd love other people's ideas. We know what's the best way that part-time students can creatively show how important part-time study is to them, and the more enthusiasm and creativity that we can show about what should be a positive campaign to deal with a serious issue which we want to address, asking for OU students to be as supportive as possible will be a really, really important part of that.
Your challenge, your number of tweets. How are you doing?
I'm progressing, but quite slowly. Did you see my recent tweets from having run the Berlin Marathon at the weekend? That picked up a little bit of extra traffic. So what am I on now? Well, I'm on 11,542. So I'm progressing, but not that rapidly.
How's Zusa doing, Heather?
Over 14,000.
Oh. Rats.
There's still time.
I'm going to have to do something particularly outrageous to encourage.
Vice Chancellor nil.
Yes, no, I've been knocked into a cocked hat on that one.
Well, Cherry.
Yeah.
You had a rough time, didn't you? Blimey. What's that all about?
Given the opportunity, yes, it was lovely, and he was brilliant. FC, brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant guy, yeah.
Really, really approachable VC to talk to, isn't he?
Yes, yeah, very much so.
I don't know many vice-chancellors, obviously, but he is a very approachable.
I think there is a picture going around at the moment of me and him, where he's got his arm around me at the end of the interview, and he was so warm and, as you say, approachable.
Yeah.
Very, very, very approachable, and really, really wants to put students first.
Yes.
Very
much
so.
Yeah.
I think that's come across in the meetings that the officer team have had recently with him.
Absolutely.
That he is very, very,
very genuine.
Yes.
Very genuine when he wants to put students in the heart of everything the university does, which is as it should be. It's a university.
And he's a student.
He is. Well, he will be from this
he's
weekend.
He's a fresher. This
Thursday. He's a fresher.
He's a fresher. Yes.
Yeah. We've got our desk of loveliness with Jack.
I'm not quite sure about the loveliness. I'm not quite sure on that bit. But everybody seems to be going on about motivational quotes tonight.
Oh, right.
So Emma Quinn's put... she doesn't know how to make the recordings, which we were talking about before.
All right.
But she says that so one of my favourite quotes is, if you hear a voice within you say you cannot paint, then by all means paint, and that voice will be silenced. And that's from Vincent van Gogh. And she puts, we can do anything.
Hashtag keep your ears on.
Yeah.
Harsh.
Very harsh. Paige Louise Busby's quote from favourite quote is from an absolute hero, Captain Robert Falcon Scott. And he was the second person to reach the South Pole, and doing so, him and the expedition team suffered terrible conditions and they died on the way back. And in his diary, he wrote, we are very near the end, but have not and will not lose our good cheer. Which I think...
Oh, no, you've got to keep your good cheer.
Got to.
Yeah. So that'll cry.
Sue Cornelius has been looking at... said she's going to look at the blog, which we were talking with Leanne before.
Oh, yeah.
He said it sounds fab. And it sounds really interesting. Well done, you. And we've got some responses to the student problem.
Oh, thank you, students.
Yeah, we've got a great community. So we've got Davin Davis here who says, concentrate on the part you're studying, not how much is ahead. Read the TMAs when they are available, and it'll help you guide your study. And, of course, don't run out of cake.
Yes. Yes.
Which is quite right.
Advice. Cake, chocolate.
On Facebook, Sam Ross has put, it's probably already been said, but top advice would be plan ahead. Every 20 minutes of study is better than none. Study regularly, put aside an hour a night, ask questions in your subject forum, so making use of those forums again.
Absolutely.
Some students are insanely smart and can help you out even if they are in the same boat. Take advantage of the web-based tutorials, relate it to real-life events. He says he's doing planetary science, S283. Oh, no-brainer relating that one. Mars, water, New Horizons. Oh, and he says he enjoys it.
That's a really good point, actually, about talking to your other students and making best use of them as a resource. That's a really good point, actually, because you don't know what other students know. So it can produce some really interesting conversations.
I think sometimes we have to remember our learning journey is a learning journey, but it's also about a personal development journey.
Absolutely.
So if you're shy and you don't participate in the forums, start with a hello, add a little bit more. Mm. Ask a question, even if you know the answer in the forum.
Yeah, get the ball rolling.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it may be hard to believe, but if you could see us now with the response and possibly the nodding, how actually shy and scared and worried we are and were about being active and speaking to students.
I think we all were. I was very shy, very quiet. Most people are wondering why am I not still like that? But USA. It's all USA's fault. Blame USA.
And we just gain confidence, don't we? And we've got a brilliant office team here.
But your studies help build your confidence as well. It's I think it really is a confidence builder.
I'd say plunge in at the deep end, I think, wouldn't you? Just go in and
say hello.
You've got nothing to lose, have you?
No,
you've got nothing
absolutely.
To lose.
No.
I like this one from Josh Sullivan, though, on Facebook. He says he was in the same boat as the student we mentioned before. And he says, shortly after he enrolled, he welcomed his first child into the world.
Oh,
truthfully, depends on how bad you want it. If you want it bad enough, you will be fine. It's hard work, but the rewards are much greater.
That's absolutely true. That is hard work, having a brand new baby and studying at the same time and possibly working as well. But that's absolutely right. The end goal is that's the thing. That's what you've got to keep in focus.
And that's why we're part-time students. Because we have all this other life going on. We've got our families, we've got our health, we're carers, we're working.
Yeah.
We multitask within an inch of its life.
Oh, we're very good at multitasking. Almost as good at that as procrastinating.
A wonderful thing to put on your CV. That you're an OU student or OU graduate, because an employer, if they've got any sense, will recognise the fact that you can multitask and time manage better than most people.
And you're very self-reliant as well.
Yeah.
You know, I must admit, every interview I've ever been to, you know, even while I was studying, you know, it always stood me in good stead when I said, I'm an OU student, I'm studying for an OU degree.
Yeah, and thank you.
It's like, okay, so you're working and you've got kids and stuff, you know, you must be really good at being able to manage your time and sticking to deadlines, which I'm not that good at, in all honesty. But, you know, the TMA gets sent in when it's supposed to be in by, you know. Yeah, it is a good thing to have on your CV. It's very, very valuable.
I think also if you're not quite ready or you need that extra bit of support, we've alluded, I love that word, I learned that at university.
Alluded to.
We've alluded to earlier what other support is available out there for you students. I'll just reel some off at the moment. The DSG, the Disabled Students Group. There's peer support, there's Nightline, there's student support and tutors for academic issues, and there's OOSET, the Student Educational Trust.
Yep.
So as we heard earlier, Cherry with the Disabled